So let's go ahead and get started. Praise God. So Sword Seminar, Part 13, Glory to God. I'm so excited. So a true biblical family, always remember this. It takes three to make a marriage. It takes the husband, the wife, and above all, Jesus. We don't have any idea on this earth what we're doing in regards to love and relationships. We do our best. We try hard. We understand, especially with children, that we sacrifice. We do our best for them. But really, truly, the only way to get this right is to go to Christ. He is our champion. He is the Lord. He is the wisest person you'll ever, ever know. Praise God. So you have the Father as the covering. Fathers are very important in a family, critically important. Mothers are the heart, so important. You can have a father that's fantastic, powerful, doing everything scripturally, but without the mother, there's going to be a huge vacuum. And then we have Jesus, our foundation. The thing, the person, the thing that we're building on is Christ. Amen. He's the one that's going to help us build. So husband's first calling is to love as Christ loves. We're going to talk a little bit about this. God had given me this message like maybe 3 messages ago, and I had to wait till it fit in, and I had to wait till he said do it. So I believe tonight is the night for us to hear about the husband's first calling is to love as Christ loves. Amen. So please understand, men, we're going to talk a little bit about women tonight, but all of it is intermixing for the women as well, but for the women. And I need you to understand something, that both have their own part in the success of any union. Both have their part in the success of the family. Both have their part before God. There's not going to be any responsibility or all these duties that the man should be doing, and then the wife just is the wife. No, we are equally builders. We are becoming master builders. It takes two to make a marriage. It takes two to build a family. There's no way that we are without responsibility as women. The only thing is that in the order of Christ, you know, Christ is submitted to God. Man is submitted to Christ. So you're next in line, men. And when we can get the men at least understanding where they fit, then the women can come in and we can do our part that much, much more easily. Amen. And it comes down to this, people. When you hear something and you think to yourself, well, they're not doing it, why do I have to do this? Then the thing you tell yourself is, when are we going to break the stalemate? When are we going to just put everything aside and say, I'm going to pick up my side of this. I'm going to do my part, because no matter what, this is about me. I don't know if you know this, people, but your life is about you. It is about you and who you've chosen to be, who you are becoming, how much of the word is getting into you. Amen. It has life in and of itself actually has very little to do with what happens to us, situations, emergencies, relationships, failures, and successes. It really is comes down to each and every one of us. Amen. So in no way am I targeting the women are coming up next. I wish I could do, you know, one item of the men that God talks about and then do the reflective side of the women. But it would get too convoluted for us. So I'm just going to streamline it and you know, talk to our men. The women are coming up very soon, men. And you'll see that she also has a very lovely, precious role in the life of her husband. Amen. And especially, well, no, not especially, but also with the children. So we're talking about loving the wife as Christ loves the church. I love you, and that's the beginning and end of everything. I think that when we start dating someone, when we start a relationship, especially when we're heading towards marriage, there's been a proposal, there's been an acceptance, we should look at it this way. I love you, and that's the beginning and the end of everything. In other words, I'm doing this because I love you. I'm going to stay in this because I love you. I'm going to be successful in this because I love you. We're going to end together because I love you. And that's the whole point, people, is the beginning and the end of everything is that we love that person. And we're not going to let go of that love for nothing, for nothing. Amen. We're going to hang on to it. So a covenant man knows that in getting married, it will be to one woman and for life. This vow is made before God and with God. He is basically covenanting that he will set himself to love her for the entirety of his life, no matter what, just like Christ does him. So men, when men get married, they should realize, I am literally going into covenant with God and my wife to be, that I'm going to love her no matter what, just as Christ loves me no matter what. And Christ does love us, people. Men, you should have a real bird's eye view now of how much God loves you and forgives you and puts up with you and just keeps rebooting the relationship. In Lamentations 3, it literally says that his mercies are new every morning. Glory to God. He doesn't remember yesterday. Now, if you don't repent of it, you're going to carry the consequences of that sin that you've committed. So it's good for you to repent. But as far as God is concerned, every day is a new day with him. Amen. So if he treats you that way, men, let's treat our women that way. That, you know what? Yesterday was a harsh day for us, men. It was hard. We got into it. You know, I got mad. She really made me mad. That today I'm going to reboot that just like Jesus did already for me before I even woke up. He had a clean slate for today for me. I'm going to have a clean slate for my wife today. Amen? Man is the example of the love of God in the home. This is the most important thing that we need to put in place before everything else falls in place. We've had it backwards. The women are attempting to love the kids and love the husband and, you know, love, you know, just keep the love going in the house. But honestly, she didn't know any more than you did about love. We're all learning in this thing. No one is an expert on anything. We are all in the school of life with Christ as our teacher. But the very first thing that a man should realize is, if I'm going to have a wife, and I'm going to have a family eventually, then I'm going to have to know how to be the example of the love of God in the home. What happened is the world programmed us. We went off, the men went off to make a living because they are such powerful providers. They are so responsible before God. But men, providing is about fourth down the line. As far as priorities in a relationship, in a marriage, and then with children. It's like fourth down the line for God. And he intends to help you with that workload, trying to provide for every member, trying to provide for every need. But the world programmed our men to go into the field. And as long as you're bringing in the bucks, and if you bring in the big bucks, you're a really big success in the eyes of man, the world, your family, your wife, for sure, because she wants stuff. So that's what we grew up with. And as a result, we have generations and generations and generations of children that never knew their father, never really got a chance to have covenant relationship with a dad. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard young men in my office, sometimes they even cry and say, I don't know who my father is. I have no idea who this man is. Why? It's because the world and Satan programmed them to go. And if you want to be successful, and every man has a good heart, they want to provide. Well, I would say the majority of men. They want to provide for the family. They want to be good to the wife. They want to, you know, provide and protect and all of that. And so it wasn't out of a bad thing, but the information was misguided. And I want you to see this going forward. There is no condemnation for us because we're seeking the truth. Look at you, 18 of you plus two, hopefully. That's 36 people that showed up tonight trying to get the right information. There's no condemnation to you. If you, let's say you were that man that left. And let's say you did miss out on your children and the cute things they do and the growing up that they do. Then understand that you are going to be okay. God understands what happened. He's just going to help you catch up now to where you really truly belong. But the most important thing is that the man is the absolute image of the love of Christ in the home. You are directly under Christ. Christ is, he loves the church and gave himself for the church. He's going to teach you how to do that. Not killing yourself, not destroying your life, not having any life of your own. And then on top of it, the burden of going out to work. That's not what Christ is going to do with you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, is what he said, people. So man is the example of the love of God in the home. It's time to learn how Christ loves. How did he love us? Imagine. Look at how much this world is in a state of revival because Christ has loved us so much. It is a continual thing, generation after generation, for thousands of years that we experienced after Christ came to the earth and modeled the love of God for us. Amen. So Christ will teach any man who wants to know, who wants to learn, how to fulfill the greatest commandment of all, and that is how to love as he does. I love this picture. Christ is talking to this man. He is urging him, is earnestly entreating him. That's what Christ will do, men. You're not going to go at this alone. You're not being thrown into an arena that's scary and you don't know what you're doing and, oh, great, now it's just going to be me. No, Christ is going to show you. Before we leave, people, let's do this right. Amen? We have time, a little bit. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, you shall love in a social or moral way. Moral means honest, integrity, truthfulness. So you shall love in a social or moral way the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that neighbor means someone close by. That means your wife, first and foremost. She is literally half of you. You guys have become one in the spirit. Amen? One in the flesh, rather. And verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Think about that. You're going to fulfill all the laws and what the prophets taught us by walking in love with everything you have, first to God and then to your house. Amen? And then to your home. Listen, men, since we're talking to you today, when you set your, and women too, you'll see, when you set yourself to love God with everything you have, he's going to fill in all the holes, all the needs, all the things that are missing in your life. His love is so rich. It is so powerful that you're going to get blessed beyond your imagination by just loving him. He's going to come in and invade your beautiful heart, and he's going to fill you up. He's going to heal you. He's going to start shifting things around. It's really precious, people. So this scripture is telling us, learn to love with all your heart. There are some men that do the minimal emotionally. They will go to work, they come home, they're exhausted, they don't have very much left in their tank for anybody. And so they give what they can. But in this scripture, Jesus is telling us to love with all of our heart. And you know what, people? Nothing is more important than people. Nothing, not any accomplishments, not any ministry that we might build that's 5 million people strong, not any company that's worth $5 million or $500 million. Nothing is more important at the end of this entire picture than people. So if people are the most important, then we should love them with all of our heart. Even if you're there for a second with your son and he asks you something or you see him scared or worried or afraid, in that moment you go up, buddy, what's going on? Talk to me, son. Let's go outside for a little bit. And you love that person with all your heart at that moment. That's what that means. It doesn't mean that 24/7 you're just sitting there loving, loving, loving. We have to live. We have to provide. We have to keep growing. We have to keep learning. There's all a million things we have to keep doing. But nothing is more important than people. If you put working out at the gym for 2, 3, 4 hours and then spend 5 minutes with the wife, that's not loving her with all your heart. Go to the gym. Bring it down to 1.5 hours instead of 2, 3 hours like some guys do. They live in the gym. Or they go traveling, or they go fishing, or they have hobbies. Instead of doing it for so long, take, you know, at least an equal amount. Take her out to lunch. Spend breakfast with her. Talk with her. The same with your children, if they have need for you. I know of a father, and I pray they're still doing it, that started doing Bible studies with his children at home. And he told me that it's bringing so much healing to the girls, to the family, to the entire children. Because he's spending time with them, especially with God and around God. So we are to learn to love with all of our heart wherever we're at. It doesn't mean the woman as a secretary at work. It doesn't mean your best buddy who you love, who maybe went to the service with you and you... No, it means especially in your home. First you start with God and then you start with your home. Amen? Don't ever be caught loving your friends or, you know, whatever, some other person more than you love your family. Learn to love with all your soul. That means with all your spirit. Incorporate what the beautiful, powerful forces that God has given to you. All spiritual blessings have been given to us under heaven. And learn to use the spiritual forces that are in you to love your family, like faith, hope, love, compassion. All of these are spiritual forces. And then learn to love with all your mind. That means you provide deep thought to this. It's dianoia. The word in the Greek, deep thought, imagination, and understanding. What does this mean? That means that you sit for a moment, sir, and you ask yourself, how can I love my family better? Of course, the first thing is God, but right today, I can't talk about God because that'll, my gosh, we'd be here for 5 hours easily. But right now, we're talking about the family. So that means you give it deep thought. How is my family? How are they flourishing? How are my children? How are they faring in life? Do they miss me? Have I disconnected from them? Have they disconnected from me? And you start giving deep thought into what you are doing. Again, nothing, 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 nothing is more important than people. It is people that will be translated over into eternity with us. It's not going to be our empires. It's not going to be our bank accounts. It's not going to be the awesome car that we love. It's not going to be any of that. It's going to be the people that God gave you. Men, as successful as you want to be, and I know you do, you should. Let's do everything we can to succeed in loving the one person that God has given you for your life. You could, if you succeed loving your wife properly and the family properly, you are a success forever in the eyes of God. But if you go and build an empire and these people that God cautiously turned over to you for the care and the watching over of and the loving, if we fail in that, people, is our empire going to do anything for us when it comes to that day? It's not. God is trying to get our attention to bring it back home where it belongs. Our attention is everywhere. It's in having fun. It's in traveling. It's in being popular. It's in the little emotional affairs we're having. It's in the physical affairs we're having. It's in the hobbies, the free times, all of that. When the whole time, the most valuable thing that God could have ever given you is people. It is people. And then to use your imagination, how can I bless my family? Think about it, men. Don't just go along for the ride. Honey, can we go to the movies? Honey, can we go out to eat? And you go along for the ride and you think, oh, I'm spending time with the family. Invest. What is your imagination telling you that would bless your family? Maybe it's going to the pier and getting an ice cream. Maybe it is going to the movies and watching a movie. Maybe it's getting a DVD and watching it at home. Maybe it's going outside and just playing with the kids and let the wife sit in the chair and we're all laughing and having a good time. Use your imagination, people. And then understanding. Do you understand your family? Do you understand your wife? Have you given her any thought? You know, a lot of times, and I know people, I'm speaking because I know this is all the things that I did wrong. You know, you marry someone and you go about your business and you have ideas about them and then they fail those expectations that you have about them. And we never stop to understand that person. God revolutionized my entire relationship with my mother in like two or three lines that he gave me. I was never close to my mom. I was raised to be the second mom. So I was raised as a very duty-oriented person. I did everything she told me. I wrangled the kids. I helped her get them dressed. I helped her cook. I would get up at 5 a.m. to help her make lunches sometimes. She taught me how to pray and she handed down the baton spiritually. You know, and to this day, I handed down the baton to my sisters and my brothers. But I was never close to her. In fact, I actually feared her because she was very strong with me. With me. She was really different with all my other sisters, but that's the culture. You raise one person to take over you or to your job or to help you in the home. And I was supposed to be the one that took care of them when they got old and all that. And so I was never close. And when she passed, I'm being very honest here and very transparent, and this is going to speak to some of you. When she passed, I was grieved beyond a doubt, any shadow of any doubt. I remembered my mother. I loved her as a mother, but I was never close to her. I could never get close to her. There were some things that happened in my raising up that blocked me from being able to really cling to her and love her. I admire women that have close relationships to their mom because I never did. So one day I was talking to God and saying, Lord, I saw some of my sisters really break down. They really, really miss her. Sometimes they still bring her up and all of that. And why am I different? I know I love her. I never wanted her to die. I fought to keep her alive for so many years. We kept praying for her. And you know what he told me? He told me this, people. Talk about understanding. Loving someone with understanding. He said, Eva, you need to stop looking at her as your mother. He said, the day you learn to look at people just as people, you're going to start understanding them and loving them a heck of a lot better than you do now. As a mother, I expected things from her that I didn't receive, to be honest with you. And so that's what kept me from really seeing her. The minute he shared that with me, he said, you should see every person like that. Just as a person, give them a chance. Accept them where they're at. And people, the minute I did that, I started really loving people. I fell in love with my mama. My mama was amazing and brilliant and strong and lovely and fun. She was fierce and she was a warrior. She would give her life for her children. But I could never see that because of the way she failed me. The way I perceived that she failed me. But the minute I saw her just as a woman, I started to understand this woman was some brilliant, amazing human being. Start looking at your wife as a person. Consider her upbringing. Consider all the hard times she went through growing up, because no child is unscathed. No child gets out of childhood and into adulthood being perfect and balanced and lovely. Everybody carries their own cross. What has that woman gone through, people? Husbands. When you see her just as a person, I remember the day God told me, you know, I was, you know, well, Bill's not around and he's always busy. And yeah, I know it's about the ministry, Lord, and, you know, and all of this. And you know, and I think he had taken a little time off. And I'm thinking, why isn't he with us, you know? And, you know, I don't know what he was doing. I think he was working out or going on a big, huge bike ride. He used to go for hours. And I was kind of complaining a little bit. And you know what the Lord told me? He said, Eva, this is his life too. Just like you want those moments of relief. Just like you want some space sometimes from everything. So does he. He is a person too. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's for his friends, people. We're talking about our family. We're talking about our genetic children that we gave birth to, that is a holy lineage before God. We're talking about a woman that God gave you that you're supposed to be one with. I mean, you are not going to be any closer to any other human being, or you shouldn't, than your wife. Your wife comes first. So real love is sacrificial. Real love does not fail or quit because it's plugged into God himself. See, that's the problem, is we're trying to love based on our own ability, based on the gas in our tank. We're trying to go at this huge mountain of family and love and marriage and everything that comes with it, the complications of it, with our own energy and what we learned about love. A lot of what we learned about love was taught at home. And if you had a home where there was chaos and arguing and pride, or there was, you know, people leaving all the time and all of this, then that's what we learn. That's what's in our tank. But when we start loving God and giving him his place, he's going to start filling you up with his love. He's going to show you what love is. Amen? So you will never be... That's why people that love God don't get divorced. I think I'll repeat that. People that love God don't get a divorce because they're plugged into the love of God. And the love of God is limitless. God is love, 1 John 4:7. And therefore, when we're plugged into God, we're plugged into the limitless resource of love. Amen? Praise God. We've mostly learned how to love from a worldly standpoint, and from a man-made understanding of what love is. The truth is that God, who is love, is the true image of what love looks like, speaks like, and behaves like. Christ must be the teacher of this highly critical and spiritual aspect of any believer's life. I believe with all my heart, people, that we're going to be judged on how much we walked in love. That fire that Timothy talks about, where our works will be tested by fire, I believe it's love. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, though I give my life to be, my body to be burned, though I sell all my goods to feed the poor, though I do this, even if I do that, but I have not love, I have nothing. It profits me nothing. Amen? So love is critical, and Jesus must teach us. It is the springs of living water in our homes, the love of God is. Until a man sets himself to understand what love is, those around him will lack greatly and suffer needlessly. We must always remember that man represents Christ in the home and on the earth. Man represents Christ in the home and on the earth. You know what, people? We were taught that love is weak, love is emotional. You know, I once asked someone, why don't you say I love you more? And they said, because then it won't have any meaning. Oh my God! Words are eternal. Words are important. Words build just like they destroy. Or the lack of words leave a person wanting and longing and in great need, people. Tell your children you love them 10 times a day, 100 times a day. No, they're going to get used to it. Thank God that they're used to love instead of the opposite. Amen? We got to walk away from those stupid ideas of what love is, people. Like when I told you Sunday, my father said, I never asked, I said, Dad, why don't you ever apologize? And he said, only a weak man apologizes. A real man will never ask for forgiveness. That's completely contrary to the Word of God. Grandma taught it and we bought it. It's wrong. Amen? Love builds. Words build. Amen? Talk to people. Tell them you love them. Amen? It's sad when the one person's always saying, I love you, and then the person responds, I love you too. Or, yeah, thanks. That's horrible. It should be mutual. And the man should be starting this. He should be telling his children freely, I love you. You're important to me. You are my child. I love you. Moving right along. Oh. Wow, what happened? Oh, Pastor. Okay, let's see. Wow, something happened, Bill. Let's see. Okay, let's just keep going. Prioritize your relationship. The kids will grow up. Parents will pass on. Friends will come and go. In the end, it's just the two of you. So protect that bond at all costs. In the end, it's just the two of you. You know, I never stopped to think. I was so busy with the ministry, raising the children, I never stopped to think that the kids are going to be gone. And it's going to be me and Bill one day, until it was Bill and me one day. So understand that you may think you're hanging on to the kids. You should not be hanging on to the kids. They have their own lives to live. And you know, you have your own life to live. Get busy with the work of God. Get busy loving others. Amen. It'll fill your life up. Don't cling to the kids till the last minute. That's not a good thing, people. I learned that the hard way. So they slipped briskly into an intimacy from which they never recovered. Never. Never. You will never recover from the frisky intimacy that you fell into when you were dating, when you got married, when you were in the honeymoon phase. Never let it slip. Not ever. This is a huge, huge, huge error on both women and men, that as we age, we stop being intimate and frisky and touching one another, loving one another, kissing one another. You should never let that go, because you are asking for the most dreadful existence on the planet. It is love that makes the world go round, people. It is love that flourishes and keeps both you and her young. So listen to this carefully, please. Intimacy is not sex. It is only part of great sex. A lot of men express their emotions and their affection during sex. But in order to have intimacy, you can't, otherwise you're just having sex. You cannot, it's just a physical thing. You cannot have just sex and exclude intimacy, because that is very mechanical. Very mechanical, and especially for a woman. A woman needs to be connected. There must be an intimacy there. And if you're waiting for the moments when you feel like you want to be with her physically to be intimate, that's completely backwards. You are intimate, and then you are ready to be physical with her. So let's read this. Just as man flourishes in an atmosphere of respect and kindness, intimacy creates vast security for a woman. When a woman feels safe, she flourishes and is freed up to then contribute from the heart. For woman, intimacy plays a vital role in emotional connection. A woman has to be connected to you emotionally. I'm going to say this, people, and I know you love me, and I know you trust me. I walk here, I tread very, very cautiously. But if you are not connected to your woman emotionally, then when you are physical with her, it's almost like a rape. It's almost like having sex with a stranger. She needs to know that she is connected to you and you love her and you want her. That's very important. Otherwise, you're training your wife to be mechanical. And her beauty and her graciousness and her intimacy and her softness and her femininity will be stifled if you turn sex into a mechanical thing. Okay, we're going to have sex, I'm going to be emotional with you, and then when it's over, it's over. No. Intimacy is a lifestyle. A godly lifestyle, people. So, when a woman feels safe, she flourishes and is freed up to then contribute from the heart. Some women have shut down because there is no intimacy. There's no security. There's no connection. So she shuts down. And that's not good. Because that's going to affect, it's going to trickle down to the children. When she is loved properly, she flourishes. She's feminine. She's giving. She's warm. She's sexual. She's sensual. But she has to be freed up to do that. For woman, intimacy plays a vital role in emotional connection, physical health. Did you know, people, that when women are deprived of that security from her mate, that she can actually start to experience symptoms and sickness in her body? Or she can be depressed, she can be anxious and not know why. And it's because she does not feel secure. She is not living in safety. And that is something that a man must bring to her as her husband. Now, I'm not saying that the man has to make the woman, that he has to create everything for the woman. That's not what I'm saying. A woman better be secure in and of herself, be able to handle life, be able to continue to grow. In fact, a woman, according to Proverbs 31, is a fierce, strong, powerful woman. But what I'm talking about here is the security in the relationship. Is your wife secure in your relationship? Oh yeah, she is. I know she is. How do you know? How do you know that she's secure? Physical health and relationship stability. You know, my wife, she gets mad all the time. She's up one day and down the other, and I never know who I'm going to face when I come home. Part of it is because she's not secure. She's unstable herself. She doesn't know where this thing is going to end, where it's going. Does he love me? Does he hate me? Is he going to leave me? That's very real, men. please understand me. What the man invests in her, she will invest into the family and her children. Nothing is lost when it comes to love. Nothing. When we love properly, these are seeds that are going to grow and flourish in the person that we're giving it to, in the recipient of our love. And they in turn will start spreading that. That's what God intended all along for this miserable world. We left all of the good wisdom about relationships and we took on the world's tasks. So secure women raise secure children. This is important, men, because this is your lineage. If your wife is all insecure, she's going to breed that into the children. If your children are very clingy, if your children are open to life and experiencing some of life, that's because the woman is shut down. She's not secure, and she's feeding that insecurity as she goes along. Somebody say amen. Ways to provide emotional security and stability to your wife. Look at what I did. This is in years and years of counseling people. I have done so much counseling. I'm serious. It's been a huge part of my ministry is to counsel couples especially. I've counseled every conceivable scenario, every conceivable type of couple, you know. It's been intense, this thing. So, ways to provide emotional security to your wife. This is simple. This is doable. This is not something that if any man listening to me right now that will listen to the message online, if any man says, I can't do that. I'm not going to do any of this. I don't have time. I can't. You're going to reap the consequences of those words and those thoughts. And not only that, but you're going to have to give an accountability for God why you couldn't do these simple things for the woman he gave you, for the wife he brought you, for the one person that you should truly be accountable for. Amen? So, number one, let her know she is special to you and how she's special. There are some women, I see them and it breaks my heart. So very little investment has gone into them in the area of love, in the area of affection, in the area of giving them emotional stability, security in the relationship. You ought to rehearse often. Honey, I'm so blessed to have you in my life. The way you contribute. I always make it a point to tell my husband why he's important to me, why he's important to the church, why he's important to our children. I make it a point for him to know. Women need to know that they are special to you men. That brings so much security. Because how does she know that someone at work isn't special to you? But when you let her know, honey, you're special to me because you are such a godly woman, or because you love sex like I do, or because we have fun together. When we're okay, when we're not fighting, we have fun together. Let her know how she's special to you. And not once a year. That's evil. To be that lazy and that stingy with your words. That a person that waits till the right setting to express how they feel is a highly emotionally immature person. A person that takes the courage and says, you know what, I'm just going to let this woman know that I love her. Just open up. Number one, let her know she's special and how she's special. Number two, pray for her in her presence. You know, grab her hands and just say, Father God, I thank you for my wife. I'm asking you to bless her, Father. I'm asking you to help her with this day. Pray for her. Then she knows that you're bringing the whole spiritual realm to the relationship. Number three, hold her. hug her from the heart daily. They've done so many studies, people, and hugs bring health. Hugs bring healing. Hugs bring all kinds of nourishment to the soul. Hug her all the time. Yeah, well, you know, real men don't really do that. Then you know what? Real men need to be alone. Because a godly man will. A godly man will learn how to love a woman. What is so hard about learning to love the opposite sex? Women, our day's coming. Number two, do not check out other women, especially in front of her. You want to create your a world of hell and torment and anxiety in your woman? Check out other women in front of her. That destabilizes a woman more than you can imagine. It's disrespectful. It makes her scared. It makes her jealous. It makes her insecure instantly. Instantly. And as women, I'm going to speak for myself. I can't speak for other women. I intentionally don't check other men out. Because I know one thing about men. They cannot handle it. If I checked out other men, like men check out women, my husband wouldn't like it and he wouldn't stand for it. But so many women have to live under that. And it's so tormenting. And, you know, let me share a scripture with you. As hell and the grave are never satisfied, neither are the eyes of man. That is not giving you an excuse. And you can say, see, even the word says, you know, the eyes of man are never satisfied. So my eyes are never going to be satisfied. It's comparing it to hell and the grave. The lust and the hunger that hell and the grave have for more and more. Don't check out other women in front of your wife. I have to say this about my father. My father may not have been, you know, the perfect father in a few ways. But I never, ever, 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 ever saw my father check out another woman in front of my mother or in front of his daughters. Never. Never. He controlled himself. He behaved like a gentleman. And that always gave me so much. I remember growing up thinking, wow, my dad's not looking at anybody. Or if a pretty woman walked by, my father would look the other way. And I'm thinking, wow, it brought so much comfort knowing that my dad, because see, when you're looking at other women, it gives the implication that you're still searching, that you're still looking for. Why? When you have your wife, your beauty next to you. Amen? And then tell her how she makes a difference in your life. Tell her, honey, I sure do appreciate when you do this. Honey, I love that you contribute this. Let her know. Let her know, please. You know, your presence, honey, makes our family so well-rounded. Something. And then compliment her, especially if she's trying. Look, if I were to show you an outfit I used to wear when we were dating, you wouldn't believe that even a human being could fit into this thing. The waist is like this wide, and I'm not even kidding you. I was incredibly different. I was very fit. I was very active in college. And I got married. And then God threw us into the ministry. And then I didn't have just two children. I had like 130 children. There was one time that we had over 200 people in Swords. And I didn't know what the heck I was doing. God would not allow us to go into ministry school. So the pressure and everything, it changed me completely. But when your wife tries, sometimes I'll show up. And Bill will look up and he'll say, baby, you look awesome. Or baby, you look hot. Or baby, you look great. You look beautiful. You don't even know. Every second that I spent trying to look nice, came back to me in a harvest of so much grace and beauty. It was lovely to hear it. Compliment her. Honey, you look awesome. Honey, I like that dress. Honey, your hair looks really good today. Find something. Honey, I like the earrings you're wearing. Find something to compliment her on. Something. All of these things, people, make a woman stable. Trust me. And then the next one is don't develop any friendships with other women. Now, you can have, of course you work. You're going to have acquaintances. You're going to be working with other women. Of course that's going to happen. But to have a friendship where now you're texting and maybe even calling or maybe even flirting a little bit at work, but it's still just at work. No. Don't develop those kinds of friendships with another woman. It will begin to sow weeds in your own marriage. Trust me, even if your wife never finds out about it. That's what you're sowing. And then make her a priority over guy friends, hobbies, traveling, working out, going for long bike rides, whatever you do. Make her a priority. Honey, I got to go work out, but when I come back, we're going to go to Starbucks. We're going to sit there and have a cup of coffee together, okay? I want to hear how you've been doing this whole week. Something. Make her a priority. Negotiate. Maybe you do have to work out first. Maybe it's important that you do it first. But then spend time with her. Next, make decisions together. Let her know she counts. Don't make all these decisions. And you've just basically hijacked a woman, a person, and she's along for the ride. You're calling all the shots. You're saying, we're going to do this. We're going to go over here. We're going to do that. No. And if you think to yourself, but, you know, she doesn't really think very well. I mean, she's so busy raising the kids and she's so tired all the time. I can't really ask her. Listen, help her. She wants to be part. She's a partner. Amen. And then love the children from the heart. If you want to create stability and some real profound, like, security for a woman, love her children. Nothing is more devastating to a woman who is a mother when her child or her children are being mistreated. Nothing destroys more than to see the father of that child that he bred, that he caused to be, and then mistreat them. That is, to me, it's an abomination. I'm sorry, it is. Love the children from the heart. Make yourself, no, I'm not going to take it out on this child. I'm going to be kind to this child. I'm going to love this child. This child is mine. And if you are in a blended family and you inherited children from another marriage, you do the same. You love them. Amen. You married that woman that had those children. So now they are part of you. Amen. You can't just love the wife and mistreat the kids. That's not going to work. You're going to destabilize her all over the place. Love the children. Amen. And then with your words and actions, let her know that you are grateful that she's in your life. Honey, I'm so grateful you're in my life. You make all the difference in the world to me. You are awesome. She needs to hear these things, people. Men. And then be frisky. All the time. Yeah, well, you know, we're in our 70s, you know, and that's not really a thing that we want to do anymore. And let me tell you something. I want you to listen to me very carefully. All of us age. As women, our body changes. When we are no longer in the reproductive years, our whole chemistry changes, our body changes. Everything changes about us. Men, when you go through menopause, when we go through menopause, everything shuts down. And when men go through menopause, then things start to slow down. And, you know, this drive that you naturally had, I mean, all you had to do was look at her and you'd be ready. You know, now it's getting harder and harder. And as we age, that's the way it happens. Now, I hope you use your faith, you know, to extend it as long as possible, the physical act. But when it starts to slow down, is when you come in double time with affection. Just because a man starts to slow down doesn't mean she is. Just because a man can't be as aggressive as before doesn't mean that she is fine and okay, no problem, you're okay, if you're done, okay, no problem. No. Now he comes in double time to love her, to be affectionate, to hug her, to kiss her. And I, please understand this. I don't mean kiss her with a grandpa kiss. Oh my gosh. There is nothing that is more demoralizing to a woman than a peck like a grandpa would kiss you. Kiss her passionately. But you don't understand. It's not going to go anywhere. What makes you think it's not going to go anywhere? In her heart, in her spirit, in her mind. You're going to keep her flourishing as a human being, not as a sex object. That's going to slow down for all of us, even for us women. And women, the same for you. I'm just going to add this here. We're not talking to the women tonight. Just because you are shutting down doesn't mean you shouldn't be there for your husband. You're going to send him into a whole spin out of lust and all this physical thing just brewing inside of him. This sexual drive. We got to take care of each other. And if the physical part starts to slow down majorly, then men, you come in double time. I'm saying double time. Well, you hug your wife whenever you have a chance. Put your arm around her when she's cooking at the kitchen. When you walk by, smack her on the behind. I love that. It's like being Italian. Italians do that a lot. They smack one another in the behind. It's an affection. They're not hurting each other. It's a love tap. You know? And men have their little things that they like to do when they're nice and frisky. Don't stop doing that just because the physical is slowing down. Keep doing it. She will remain youthful. She'll know that you still want her even though things have slowed down. Men make the biggest mistake. It's like, oh, well, you know, shop is closing down. So, okay, you know, I'm not going to kiss her too much because I don't want to get her all worked up. That's so wrong. You do not understand a thing about women if you think that. That's when you come in to love her, to nourish her, to encourage her, to connect with her, to spend more time with her. Go on a nice walk with lovely conversation. Can be as sexy and as fulfilling as nice sex, people. Please understand, there's a huge scope of interconnection that we need to explore now. So all of this is you showing her, I love you, I'm here. And she will derive a lot of security. A secure woman is a happy woman, people. Seriously. If you're just throwing things at her, here's a diamond ring, or here's, you know, I got you this, or, you know, here, go and buy this, or whatever. That's not going to fulfill any of her internal being at all. What I'm telling you will. It will. What is intimacy? We're just going to go for a minute, about 2 or 3 minutes longer. What is intimacy? We've talked a lot about it tonight. What is intimacy? Intimacy is built intentionally with the intent to truly become one with your spouse. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Just as God commanded us to do. But it's intentional. Intimacy does not happen by itself. It's got to be sown. It's got to be protected. Intimacy is familiarity, where you're familiar with one another. Bill and I have a long history, people. We have jokes that are inside jokes. We have little phrases that only we know what they mean. We have little mannerisms that we've built along the years. That's a beautiful familiarity that I enjoy so much. it makes me so happy. It's like, oh, he remembers those things that we've done. And, oh, you know, he's joining in on my silliness or whatever. It's familiarity. It's a state of strong emotional closeness. If you, men, loving properly requires courage. Take a chance. If you can't do it, it's never going to start in your family. Take a chance to become strong. It's a state of strong emotional closeness with your woman, with your wife. Take a chance. You know, love never fails. If you sow the right thing, it's going to come back to you very beautifully. It's a state of strong emotional closeness. Caring. Do you care for one another? Oh my gosh, the other day, my husband came out. He was from a dead sleep. He came out all discombobulated. It was at night. It was late at night. And I was still here. I was still up and I was in the other room. And he came running and almost basically not running, but in a hurry into the room. Baby, are you okay? I heard you calling my name. I heard you crying out. And I said, honey, it wasn't me. And he goes, are you sure? He goes, I heard you. I was asleep and I heard you. That's caring. He ran in here to see how I was doing. You know, one of the things I love to do is he has two water bottles, one in the office and one in the bedroom. And I love washing them for him. When he's not around, I wash him real well. I fill him up with fresh water and I put him there. I care for him. I love him. I love doing little things for him. We're learning to do cute little things for each other. And then affection. Be affectionate. A real man is affectionate. You know, I watch men that are really cold and, you know, distant with their kids and their wife. But you let a dog in the room and they're all affectionate with the dog. No, or they're affectionate with their friends. Hey, dude, and they high-five each other and hug each other and laugh and get in a little huddle over there. No, be affectionate. And then tenderness. Jesus is so tender, guys. Jesus is the most tender human being you will ever know. Be tender. It's not weak. It requires strength and courage to be these things. It's the opposite. It's the coward that can't come out of his shell. It's the person that's not emotionally mature at all that can't do these things. But step out. Reach out. And it's a deep understanding of the other person. Get to know your wife as a person, not as your wife. Hey, we need the house clean. It's dirty. Hey, can you do me my favorite dinner? Hey. No, she is a person, and this is her life too that she's living out. These create a warmth and an ease in the relationship that help all the other aspects function well. These are the things we must build now. If you have some of them started, keep building. If you're doing good, way to go. But these are the things that we have to start building. I'm going to have to stop because I'm going to start a whole other thing regarding that. But people, I have a lot more to share on this. And, you know, honestly, I'm a very fair person. Our day is coming. And for women, we're going to learn and understand how to love men. What means a lot to men. You know, they are actually in and of themselves. Maybe not as a husband because they are so locked in, you know. And probably because of us. But as men, they are very affectionate. They can be extremely loving. They are very loyal. Men know loyalty on a level that I don't think women do. They're very loyal. They're very protective. They can be very tender. But they have to be able to trust us women with their little underbelly. They're not going to expose their little underbelly. That means their, you know, vulnerability, unless they know they can trust us. The books that I'm working on, She Holds the Key to His Heart, He holds the key to her heart. We have to unlock each other now, people. We have to release one another to be able to love and to love as God has commanded us. Amen. Jesus is all of these things and then some. He's very personal, very, very intimate with us. He understands us. He knows us. He connects with us emotionally, all of that. So it's very much a manly thing, men, to create intimacy with your wife, to love her properly, to keep chasing her all the days of your life. You should be frisky till you're 95, if you live that long, till you're 95. It doesn't mean the actual physical act. It means that you stay on fire for her. And I have scriptures for that. I love you very much. Thank you for being so strong and so courageous. I appreciate all of you that showed up. We're going to pray and close up. Amen.